Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, you probably hear that my voice is a little nasally, and that's because we're going to, well, it's not because, it actually triggered me to do a little research and dive into this topic of seasonal allergies or illness and its connection to headaches or migraines. It's May, and seasonal allergies are a thing when the trees and the flowers are in bloom. There's pollen flying through the air, and people get congested, and they have seasonal allergies, and oftentimes they associate that with headaches and migraines. And so we're gonna dive into that, and I'm gonna try to answer questions surrounding that, make sense of that, especially in the paradigm of how we're looking at headaches and migraines as one of the underlying sources of pain being this mechanical element, the neck not moving the way it should, the jaw, the shoulders. And what's more appropriate than listening to me talk about this as I'm getting over a head cold? We traveled out to Michigan, that's where my in-laws live, last week, and came back, and sugar tanks my immune system, traveling on the flights, disrupted sleep. It was good family time, but yeah, a little worn down, and had a bit of a head cold that you're hearing. So we're going to talk about that. One of the things I experience when I'm sick, this happened when I had COVID. This happens when I get the flu or even a head cold, is I will get a headache, and it's sort of a general sense of body aches, but there is a specific pattern where the right side of the base of my skull will become sensitive, and I'll have this dull kind of headache throughout the day. Now, as I'm experiencing that, I'm thinking through, okay, like, is this purely from me being ill? It does seem to happen in isolation. I don't generally get headaches, but when I'm sick, I will have that headache presentation. Now, one of the things that on this podcast we try to do is bust myths. Maybe a myth that we're trying to bust here is the idea that illness leading to headache means that the illness is actually causing the headache, which I think is partially true, but there's also layers to it that I want to get into. And so is your illness and you being ill, is that the only reason you have a headache? Why would the headache present in kind of a specific pattern? Like, why would the right side of my head hurt worse, even though I do have like a general fatigue and achiness? We think of COVID, and COVID was characterized by systemic body aches. So body aches, muscle pains throughout your body. And that there was also a sense of when I had COVID, I had like a low back pain in a specific pattern, and again, that headache in a specific pattern. And so it's these patterns that, okay, the pain will bias one side, or it's with a specific movement. My theory is that there's a level of dysfunction and irritation that was already there. And so what's happening is when you are ill and you're experiencing something like a viral infection and your body's fighting that off, your response to that virus actually lowers your threshold. And so with all this inflammation that's running through your system, you feel the local inflammation more. You feel the local stress or tension that's there to a greater extent. Whereas otherwise, if your body's not fighting off illness, you're fine. You don't notice it. It doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that you're able to cope with it. Okay, so that's my theory. So what I did is I did some research to understand, is this accurate? When we think about seasonal allergies and then we think about illness, are those the same? Are we just talking about inflammation and that inflammation impacting your experience with pain, but the pain that you're experiencing is also attributed to or attributed from this musculoskeletal problems, meaning you have a neck problem, you have a shoulder problem, you have a jaw problem, and then adding inflammation onto that. So systemic inflammation means inflammation throughout your body, and that would be inflammation is a normal response. And so let's just start with the definition here, or talk about or kind of define inflammation. Inflammation is typically a defense mechanism activated by the immune system to combat things like infections, mitigate the effects of harmful agents, and facilitate tissue repair. So inflammation is a good thing. We need inflammation. Inflammation is regulated by our body. So we have pro-inflammatory proteins, or what are called cytokines, and then we have anti-inflammatory. So we have things that will kind of upregulate inflammation and things that will downregulate inflammation. The general term for these particles or proteins that are involved in this inflammatory response are called cytokines. So the word for that is cytokines. They basically are these small proteins that are important in signaling to other cells what they should do. Should we increase inflammation? Should we decrease inflammation? And then the cytokines are always present in an inflammatory response. There's all different types of cytokines and all different types of inflammation. There's inflammation that responds to a certain virus. There's inflammation and cytokines that respond to bacteria. There's different types of inflammation. And we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of, a specific type of bacterial infection or viral infection or the common cold or COVID or how it relates to, seasonal allergies and histamine responses. I don't necessarily want to get in the weeds of that. I'd rather stay at a higher level and say, let's define systemic inflammation, and systemic inflammation being a more of a global response to in illness. So illness or allergies either can cause a systemic inflammation. Allergies are probably going to be more of a local response, meaning your nose gets red and maybe itchy. You have inflammation throughout your sinuses. So whatever the allergic agent entering your body, there's more of a local response. But then systemically, you can also get a histamine response that causes systemic inflammation. And then illness in particular, whether it's bacterial, viral, or fungal, will often lead to a systemic inflammatory response. So slight difference there with an allergy having a local component and then also potentially a systemic or whole body component. And then illness, so whether that's, viral, bacterial, or fungal, is more of a systemic response, okay? Systemic inflammation. So what are some of the typical things? So when you're experiencing illness, you might experience a fever. A fever is your body telling you that there's inflammation throughout your entire system, okay? So that's the most widely known. Everyone's had a fever in their life at some point, I would imagine. And that's you experiencing your body's response to something that it doesn't like by increasing the level of inflammation. And the inflammation is good, and it is a way of attacking and getting rid of whatever harmful agent is in your body. Okay, so that involves cytokines, and those cytokines are either pro-inflammatory, anti-inflammatory. They help regulate the inflammation, but the inflammation is a good thing, okay? So overall, inflammation is a good thing. Now, if we get into chronic inflammation, oftentimes a bad thing. I would say most of the time a bad thing. Chronic inflammation it is either something where the body is not regulating, the cytokines are not regulating the inflammatory response appropriately enough. So oftentimes inflammation is more of an acute or short-term response to an illness or an allergy. Inflammation also comes to play when we get injured. So if you play sports and you have you have some sort of injury to a joint, you tweak your knee, you sprain your ankle, you pitching a baseball and you tear your rotator cuff. There's inflammation, and that inflammation is there in order to stimulate tissue healing. So it's also good in more of a tissue trauma response. Okay. Now, when we're talking about inflammation in our context, we'll start with the physical side. So we're thinking of the something that causes head pain. Now, the things that cause head pain are the jaw, the neck, and the shoulders, okay? The neck in particular being the upper part of the neck, so anywhere from the base of the skull to C3, there's a lot of movement there that we should have. When we don't have that movement, there's a level of irritation that can build up. The neck is also responsible for managing the weight of the 10 to 12 pound head that we carry. And so there's added stress that can build up. And so it all goes back to, on this podcast, we talk about movement, and if movement's dysfunctional or doesn't look like it should, there's added tension and stress, and that added tension and stress can trigger that inflammation response. All right. Now, the other thing that inflammation is crucial for is telling us when something's painful. All right. So when we have pain, it's because there's local inflammation at that site. Those cytokines, those inflammatory markers signal the pain. And so our brain gets the alarm signal, something's wrong. There's inflammation in that area. The inflammation's trying to heal it. All right. Now, in this scenario, what's happening is, in theory, we're walking around with neck tension, shoulder tension, jaw tension, or a variation of, everyone's a little bit different in how they present. But in general, that's what we're dealing with. And it's underlying, it's not necessarily like at the surface. We're not, to varying degrees. Some people might have, frequent headaches and migraines, and others, they might just be with like seasonal allergies or when they're sick. In either case, though, we need to understand that the local inflammation of the response to, okay, my neck's not functioning well, my shoulder tension is increased, that sort of stuff that we can ignore, that our brains can kind of put to our subconscious, like it's not bothering us, or maybe it is bothering you, but largely our body and our brain, they want to continue functioning and moving and being productive and making, progressing into whatever task is ahead of us. And that pain is a distraction. So we'll figure out a way to shut it off. And so that pain in the environment of systemic inflammation, so whether it's illness or allergies, like I said, both of them can cause these cytokines throughout the body. So the level of inflammation is heightened. So we've got a heightened systemic inflammation. Does that impact more of the local inflammatory response? Okay. And what we found, or what I found, is that they did one specific study was, this is interesting. So, there's a term, it's endotoxemia, and it's basically they insert a sort of toxin to stimulate a systemic inflammatory response. So they want to see what's happening to pain thresholds when someone is sort of artificially put into a scenario where their whole body is dealing with inflammation. Now, just a sidebar. Anecdotally, I mean, just think about your experience. If you're sick, if you're experiencing a fever, like things just hurt, like your body just hurts. You just have pain. Your threshold for pain, I think like 9 out of 10 people, or maybe 10 out of 10 people, if you said like, do things hurt worse when you're in pain? I feel like everyone would say yes. Okay. So we've all experienced this, we've lived it, but obviously it's helpful to sort of look at studies that have been done and understand if this is true, if this is truly what's happening. And so what they did find is that the response to pain and pressure, those thresholds dropped, making them more sensitive. The subjects experienced more pain during cold pressure testing. which suggested an overall increased sensitivity to various pain types, modalities during that systemic inflammation. So we're artificially causing systemic inflammation, which we can, again, at a high level, like there's different types of inflammation, but at a higher level, just say, okay, systemic inflammation can be caused by allergies and then also illness. And so we've got that systemic inflammation in these environments that we're talking about. And then we look at a study and it says, yes, your pain threshold will drop. So meaning just things hurt worse. And then what happens is you take that information, you say, well, if your neck was already sort of in a inflammatory state, if it wasn't happy with how it was functioning, if the muscle tissue and tension was increased, if the joint was irritated and not happy, and maybe you were able to tolerate that fine in an environment where you're not sick or you don't have seasonal allergies. But then when you do get seasonal allergies, your pain threshold drops. And now you feel not only the systemic impact of the inflammation, meaning if you're ill, you maybe have a fever, if you have seasonal allergies, may have increased sinus pressure, inflammation through the sinuses, congestion, things like that. But you also have this heightened sense of the pain signal that's coming from your neck. And so it's experiencing that as a headache. And that's where the pain may only feel like it's popping up around this time of the year or when you get sick. But it still will likely have like somewhat of a specific presentation, like one side of your neck or one side of your back, or and it will respond to mechanical inputs. Meaning, in my personal experience, if I lay in bed and my head's kind of cocked to one side, I feel that like my headache increases, and it just, I mean, because when you're sick, you just want to lay in bed. You don't really want to do much, but the body wants to move. But your body also needs to rest when it's ill, but it's hypersensitive to any of these stresses that you're placing on it. And so that hypersensitivity makes you more aware of, okay, I'm laying in bed and my head's cocked this way and I have a really bad headache. And so it's a bad combination, because the movement that your body wants, you're not able to necessarily get because you're resting and you just feel so fatigued. And you're hypersensitive to those added stresses. But I think it's interesting to have this conversation, because one, when we get into seasonal allergies and illness and the headaches associated with them, I think it's a really good example of if we take these experiences in complete isolation, we assume that the illness or the allergy is the only component. Now, obviously, it's a major component in what you experiencing, in what you experience, and I'm sure there's avenues. I know there's avenues where like systemic inflammation can cause sensitivity throughout your body, and so it's not necessarily indicating there's a problem within your musculoskeletal system, within your neck, shoulders, but you have a general headache. But I do think that there's a large component. There's a large number of people that are. It's revealing like the specific problems that they're sort of harboring, but don't realize outside of these moments of systemic inflammation. So again, the reason that it's important is because we sort of separate and segregate our experience into, okay, this, my headache happened during this, so this must be what's causing it. And I think it's important for this podcast, and as I'm trying to educate people and help them, to understand that we don't just experience these things in isolation. Our body has all these moving parts and components, and they all interact with each other. So to oversimplify it and say, well, that's just my seasonal allergies, means that you take your seasonal allergy medication. You take your Claritin or your Zyrtec or whatever it is, and you kind of stop there. When there's more to it, there's another layer of this that we could get to. Obviously, if you're ill, that's more of a like get better, get your body better. But there have been cases with COVID. Like we've had patients that went through COVID and then they had these persistent symptoms of their migraines returning or muscle aches or pains that when they presented clinically, I was able to find and really understand what was happening in their body to cause them to feel it in combination with the inflammation of the virus made them much more hypersensitive to it. But saying like, oh, this is just a COVID problem would mean that we're missing out on all this other potential to actually treat those symptoms. And so I get excited about this stuff because I just think it's helpful. It helps us answer questions that we should be asking that get us to the result that ultimately allows us to get better. Okay, so there we go. There's listening to me, Dr. Taves, with a nasally voice talk about illness and systemic inflammation, allergies, and how that connects to headaches and migraines. I hope you found this podcast helpful. You are our marketing and our means of spreading the word about this podcast. So what I would encourage you to do is send this off to a friend or family member that you know would benefit from this podcast. If you've been listening to this podcast and you have headaches or migraines, and you're still searching for relief, please reach out to us. You can reach us at hello@noveraheadachecenter.com or email, or just call us 719-598-1010. And we'll get on the phone and start listening to your story and seeing how we can help. Thank you all so much for being regular listeners. Stay tuned next week as we continue to explore more topics, have more guests as we go on this journey. As always, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. I'll see you next week. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.